You think you could beat Biden?
I think so.
So you're running then?
No, I didn't say that. I just said I think I could.
He can beat Biden. But what about former President Trump? Well, he's a little cagier than to answer that question, at least at this point in things. But that doesn't mean that he isn't saying some very pointed things about Donald Trump. And it appears the gloves have come off, if we may use a little hockey parlance. There will be an interview tonight, Piers Morgan, getting together with Governor Ron DeSantis in, I think, one of the broadest interviews I've seen him do. It actually, at some points, gets quite emotional. And that's coming up, I believe, at 8 o'clock tonight on Fox Nation. So it's on their streaming channel. And if you have an interest in Ron DeSantis and seeing a different side of him, I think this is a good opportunity. But we've already seen a lot of the clips. You just heard one of them. And I wanted to bring in our good friend John Selleck, founder and CEO of Harbor Strategic Public Affairs, who has been advising Republican candidates for a long time, and just wanted to kind of get his take on what appears to be, at least, John, the repackaging to some extent of Ron DeSantis. Do you agree with me on that? It seems that he is really trying to turn a page here.
Well, you know, for us, we're not normal, guy. You're not normal. I'm not normal. We're watching the news all the time. We're on Twitter. We're looking for these clips.
I love Ron it when DeSantis, you call me abnormal.
You know I love you. Ron DeSantis still has to introduce himself to the rest of the country. So I think some of these interviews are the beginning stages of that, and he's being forced to do it maybe a little sooner than he seems to want to because of the way that Trump is starting to go on the attack.
And his surrogates. His surrogates have made some scurrilous allegations against him, questioned his sexuality. My God. Also talked about whether or not he partied with kids when he was a teacher, things like that. So I think there are things there that almost require an answer at this point. But he didn't take the bait. We're going to get to that in a moment. The main news today, though, is that we know that Senate GOP members were really kind of taken aback when, in a different interview, Governor DeSantis said that Russia is not a threat to vital U.S. interests, and also called the incursion and invasion of Ukraine a territorial dispute. Today, he tried to change that narrative and is trying to find some middle ground. Cut to.
I think he's got grand ambitions. I think he's hostile to the United States. But I think the thing that we've seen is he doesn't have the conventional capability to realize his ambitions. And so he's basically a gas station with a bunch of nuclear weapons.
Stop. I mean, so kind of massaged it. What do you think of his handling of that question? Is it enough to satisfy hardline isolationists and foreign policy hawks? Can he find that Goldilocks?
Well, I guess we'd all be billionaires if we had the answer to that question. And I think you've hit, you know, the nail right on the head. That's the line he's trying to walk, because Trump has basically taken this like untenable position for most, you know, sane people that Putin can just do what he wants. That's no big deal. The end. And if you do anything other than that, then somehow you're in with Biden, which DeSantis clearly isn't going to let himself get lumped in with Biden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, DeSantis says, I'm not sending troops there. I don't want to send troops there. But the other answer that Biden's kind of seemingly successfully done is spend a whole lot of our money to help prop Ukraine up. And then so the questions about how long that can go on are real. But DeSantis can't go there either. So I think what he is trying to do is let Trump flounder around out there, see if he gets indicted and how that turns out. And then use this excuse of having the Florida legislative session this spring to pass a whole bunch of economic and social issue bills. That's where he's most comfortable. He doesn't want to play in Trump's turf with the insulting games. He wants to do this. But when you're running for president, there's things that pop out from all over the planet that drop in your lap, like banks closing on Joe Biden and Ukraine dropping in on DeSantis. And it's clear he had to do some cleanup work, right? There's not really another way to describe that. I wouldn't say that. Somehow 2 days ago, he didn't think that Putin was a war criminal, but he did have to do some verbal cleanup work with the second interview.
And he did say indisputably that Putin needs to answer for his war crimes. And that was an interesting moment as well that we'll hear tonight. He doesn't take on Trump by name. It's very interesting how he does it. He's refused to engage at that level. But in this interview, he does talk about Trump's character, but in an indirect and kind of lighthearted way. Cut 10.
You could beat Biden?
I think so.
So you're running then?
No, I didn't say that. I just said I think I could.
That was what I thought it was. Sorry about that. He did. I think we've heard the bite by now where he says, well, I can't tell you. I wouldn't know anything about paying hush money to a porn star. Putting distance between himself and isolating Trump as a person with character issues that he couldn't even possibly conceive of. Is that the way to handle this issue rather than a direct attack?
I think it is, and it is for now. Trump is obviously showing to the rest of us that he definitely sees DeSantis as a threat. That's why he and his allies are going out there with these wild attacks, hoping that something sticks. And what DeSantis needs is only a chunk of MAGA plus a lot more of the traditional GOP.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those voters that Republicans lost on the abortion issue last election cycle. So he doesn't need all of MAGA, but he does not want to play on Trump's turf. We've watched how that goes for everyone else. He wants to play on his own turf, so he's trying to do that. And one comparison that came to mind, Guy, is when you decide to get in early or not to get in early, a comparison here would be Alyssa Slotkin. She could have waited a lot longer to say, I don't want to be like out there on stage for like 2 years running right. for U.S. Senate. But that's what she had to do to try to clear the field. And after all that initial excitement is over and you do your announcement to her, now what, right? So she's jumping on the guns bandwagon, but that's a long time to go where you're just out hitting the hustings, waiting for something to happen. DeSantis did something else. He's trying to wait before he gets in, but some of these things are still going to keep coming. And so he's going to take these small steps outward, take his like indirect punch at Trump, and then step back into his playing field. That's what he's going to try to hold on to.
Yeah.
See if it works.
He also, and I thought perhaps his best moment in this interview is where the issue of leadership comes up, true leadership, where you're going to lead the way and get others to follow. And he framed himself as someone who gets things done, which is one of the key virtues that Donald Trump is remembered and adored for. But he says, I can do it, and I can be drama-free. Cut 4.
I get personnel in the government who have the agenda of the people and share our agenda. If you bring your own agenda in, you're gone. We're just not going to have that. So the way we run the government, I think, is no daily drama, focus on the big picture, and put points on the board. And I think that that's something that's very important.
And how often did we see Trump put points on the board but then do something that took points off, John? And I think that's, do you think that's as an effective a message as I do?
Yeah, I do. And I can give you anecdotal explanation of why I think that's the case. I speak to a lot of different organizations around the state. I was speaking before a fairly conservative group of business types. They all were basically Trump supporters in the past, and we did a anonymous straw poll to see if they had a pick today between DeSantis and Trump, and it was wildly over the top for DeSantis. And those who chose to speak up said basically, I love Trump. I love that Trump was the one that kicked open the China cabinet and started making a mess. But he lost. And we need to win because look what happened when we got stuck Biden. So I'm looking at DeSantis and I'm saying, here's the same Trump attitude, but getting points on the board, like he said.
Yeah.
And I think that's why that's the angle that DeSantis is going for, clearly.
I also give him credit for controlling his emotions. He does, in this interview, talk about the death of his sister. His wife's cancer fight. He shows some vulnerability and some emotion that he's a guy that has a heart. But he also, rather than taking Trump's bait with all of the nicknames and the name calling, he actually is very lighthearted and unperturbed. This is what he had to say about the insults being hurled his way. Cut 11.
I don't know how to spell the sanctimonious. I don't really know what it means, but I kind of like it's long. It's got a lot of vowels. I mean, so we go with that. That's fine. You know, you can call me whatever you want. I mean, just as long as you also call me a winner.
Reagan was an expert at diffusing things and ridiculing his opponents with humor. It's what made him lovable and approachable.
Right.
He did that just there.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not sure we've had a chance to see a lot of that. I mean, what we see is we don't live in Florida, and most of the country doesn't, even if we'd like to, at least for spring break. We don't get to see all Ron DeSantis. We see what the media wants to pick up on, and usually that's the more controversial things, when he's wading into the social issues and he's coming across kind of, you know, angry or cranky at the podium, or to Republicans, he's coming across as firm and unwavering. We haven't got to see the rest of his personality. And I think you're right, going back to the beginning of the interview, he's seeking the right time to do some of these longer form interviews to just kind of let his hair down a little bit. And it comes across pretty well.
And today, the Murdochs are all in on this guy. There was a 3-page profile, including his weight loss and how he's done it, that was in the New York Post today. And then, of course, this high-profile Piers Morgan interview. John, it's going to be interesting, and this is round one, but I do think we just saw the first punches being thrown.
Yeah, and we get to have a closer look here when he comes to Midland, I think, on April 6th.
And we will look forward to that. John, thanks so much. You do take care. The founder and CEO of Harbor Strategic Public Affairs. Much more on the Guy Gordon Show when we come back.